So we're looking at this passage. Please keep it open if you've got it. Page 1000 in the New Testament. Well, I wonder if, like me, how many loyalty cards, especially the ladies, have got in their bags? Well, lots of smiles, because of course we all have so many loyalty cards. But the whole idea of a loyalty card is so that you would just have their loyalty card. So you would just go to that one supermarket or to that one place. But probably, like me, you have a handful, and John always laughs when we go somewhere. You can't find it. No, well, I've got about 10 in my handbag, you see. So really, these loyalty cards don't quite deserve that name, do they? And loyalty isn't something, perhaps, that we speak about much today. Not as much as perhaps we once did. But here in this resurrection account written by Matthew, we see the passionate loyalty of the women who followed Jesus. Here they are, and we know in Matthew's Gospel, he mentions Mary Magdalene and Mary, though Mark's Gospel also mentions Salome, and Luke's Gospel, Joanna. So there was a group of these women. And these women were there at the crucifixion. Just turn back a moment to chapter 27, verse 55 and 56. This is the crucifixion, and it says, many women were there, watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. So they were there at the crucifixion, and they were there at the burial. Again, just keep on, let's look at chapter 27 and verse 57 onwards. This is the burial of Jesus, and it says, verse 60, and Jesus was placed in this new tomb. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. So there at the crucifixion, there at the burial. And then here in chapter 28, we see them that as soon as they were allowed to, when dawn broke, they went to the tomb to go to see Jesus. The women are not hiding away behind locked doors. They get up very early. And they commended for their loyalty and their desire to be where Jesus is, even if they thought they were going to be and see his dead body. Their loyalty. What a challenge that is. I find that quite challenging in terms of priorities. What is my priority day by day? Is it to be with Jesus? Or is it, well, when I've done X, Y, and Z, then I'll just have a quiet time or just spend some time with Jesus? But for the women, all they wanted was to be with Jesus, even when he was on the cross, even when he was being buried, and then on Easter Sunday morning to go and minister and put spices on a dead body. A true follower of Jesus. Nothing, not even the crucifixion, could separate them from him. I hope that is true for you and for me, that we are such loyal followers of Jesus that nothing can separate us from Jesus. The Bible promises that as we live and stay close to him, nothing can separate from us from his love. And hope that is true the other way around too. That our love for Jesus is so deep, so true, that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from following him. And of course the women knew where the tomb was because they'd been there when he was buried. So sometimes people say, oh, well, it wasn't the right tomb. Rubbish. They were there. They were eyewitnesses. They'd seen Jesus buried. But they were in for a big surprise. Let's have a look at verse 2 on chapter 28. There was a violent earthquake, and from an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and rolled back the stone and sat on it. A violent earthquake. We've not really had many earthquakes or tremors in this country, but in some places, and it's terrifying. And here there was a violent earthquake. The women must have wondered what was happening, and then they see an angel. And the stone, this huge, heavy stone that had been sealed by the guards, rolled away. The sight of the angel himself was terrifying, like lightning, clothes white as snow. So much so, so frightening, so supernatural that the guards, the Roman guards, men who had seen many things, were terrified and shook with fear. But the angel speaks, not to the guards, note, he speaks to the women and says, "Do not be afraid." When we follow Jesus, we never need to be afraid because he is with us. And so that's the first thing that the angel says to the women, don't be afraid. God's presence is always with his people, and God always brings joy, not fear. Do not be afraid. And we see the power of God at work. He who made the heavens and earth causes the earth to tremble. And you remember how it did when Jesus died? You just turn the page to 27, chapter 27, verse 51, the second part of that. This is when Jesus had given up his spirit. The earth shook, the rocks split open, and the tombs opened. God's power at work. No ordinary day on that Good Friday, and no ordinary day on Easter Sunday. The power of God, our Almighty God, seen here. And his power to send a messenger, an angel, to move the stone and raise Jesus from the dead. This is the God whom we worshipped, a God who is almighty, who is in control. Yes, at the moment the devil is playing havoc among our world, but God Almighty, we need not fear, because it's his world and he is in control. We also see the character of God here, his integrity and truth, because the angels remind the women. They say, in verse 6, he is not here, he has risen, just as he said. God's word is true. What Jesus had told the women and told his followers earlier had come true. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, is the truth. The angel reminds us that this is just as Jesus had said. God is always true to his word. That's why, as followers of Jesus, we call ourselves people of the word of God, Bible-believing followers of Jesus, because God's word is true, and it is for you and me today. And what else do we see? We see the compassion and love of God. He sees the women who have come in sadness. They've come because they love him. They've come to be near him. And let's look at verse 9. The women know that the tomb is empty. But here in verse 9, suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. The women came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. The compassion and love of God for these ladies, who had come, who were loyal, who were true followers of Jesus Christ. This is our God, Almighty God, a God of truth, a God of compassion, a God of love. They didn't expect this, but Jesus was nearer than they thought. And indeed, Jesus is always nearer than we think. He's always there, ready to be with us, to speak to us as we seek him. And now we have the transformation. The women came seeking with sadness, a sense of hopelessness, a sense of despair and grief, because their whole world had been turned upside down by his crucifixion. And maybe today for some of us, our world has been turned upside down. Or maybe you've just got a sense of hopelessness, a lack of purpose, a sense of despair. But then we see how the women are changed. They are transformed as they met him. They were filled with joy, with wonderment, with relief, and a realization that Jesus is who he said he is, the Son of God. Oh, his word is true. They are overcome to see him who they had witnessed being crucified. He is alive. He's solid. They were able to touch his feet. And they were so overcome by his presence that they worshipped him. And you know that is our response on Easter Day, that as we see Jesus as he is, as we see the depth of his love in dying on that cross for you and me to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, our response is worship. As we see Jesus risen from the dead, the one who loves us with an everlasting love. And the great news is that all of humankind can be transformed just as the women were as they meet Jesus too. Jesus changes our sadness into joy and peace. He gives us hope instead of hopelessness. Are you like the women before they met Jesus or after they met Jesus? And for now, the women have got a new purpose. They're going to go and tell others the good news that Jesus isn't in the tomb. He's alive. He's risen. But of course, there is still opposition. And we see the opposition in verses 11 to 15. It's interesting, isn't it, that that the chief priests and all those who are with him, they almost took Jesus' idea of the resurrection more seriously than his followers. They were almost more afraid of him after he died than before he died. So there was only one entrance to this tomb, which was hewn out of a rock. And so it was sealed. It would have been sealed with a cord, with a seal on each end, as well as the huge stone, closing the tomb. But they also did more than that. They placed Roman guards outside the entrance to the tomb. They were so afraid of Jesus' words. And you know, we have people like that today who are afraid of reading the Bible because they know that their lives may be changed when they read it. I read a book many years ago. I can't remember the title. It might have been the one called I Dared to Call Him Father. But anyway, there were several at that time. And this man, he was a Jew, and he was determined, because his daughter was interested in Christianity, and he was determined he would show that it was all untrue. But as he read God's word, he was changed, and he became a follower of Jesus too. Because the Bible is a living word. And the chief priests and everybody were afraid of what Jesus had said. So now we've got two groups here. We've got a group of women hurrying through Jerusalem, telling the good news that Jesus is alive. And we've got those who are opposing, plotting to cover up the events, fabricating a story, so that the eyewitnesses could be discredited. And yet the guards knew what they had seen. They bore witness to the fact that they shook with fear. They knew that the body was gone. They knew too that they had not fallen asleep, even though they were persuaded to do it. And why were they persuaded? because of bribery and corruption. They fell to the temptation of money, but probably of fear too, because of the religious leaders, but also if they'd been found to be sleeping on duty, they would have been in terrible trouble with the Romans as well. So which group would you be in? The women who are going about telling the good news, or those who opposed Jesus and gave false news? We see at the beginning the angel taking away fear for the followers of Jesus. They said, "Do not be afraid." And as followers of Jesus, we do not need to be afraid. But the angels didn't say that. The angel didn't say that to the guards, because they do need to be afraid if they don't know Jesus. But the angels also, in verse 6, give an invitation. Come and see the place where Jesus lay. And this is an invitation to us all today. If you haven't met the resurrected Jesus, he says to you, come and see. Or as the psalmist says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And Jesus' words, seek and you will find me. The evidence for the resurrection is clear. The women, the earthquake, the many occasions when Jesus was seen. On one occasion, more than 500 people. And the witness of the church. How has the church grown? By the fact that Jesus is alive, and by the power of his resurrection, it is a worldwide church today. Which group are you in? I encourage each one of us to make sure that we're in the group with the women, devoted to be with Jesus. And yet I find it so sad that some today don't want to believe it. But the Bible promises that if you really want to believe and you don't yet believe, open your heart and mind and ask Jesus to help you to read his word and to understand it, because your life will be transformed. It will never, ever be the same again. And when this happens, for those of us who follow Jesus already, we know that we do not need to be afraid, even of death. Even of death. It's a great thing when we have the privilege of taking a funeral for a Christian, because it is so different. We know that we can say alleluia because that person now is with the Lord. As Jesus said to the thief who repented and asked for help from Jesus on the cross, and Jesus said to him, today you will be with me in paradise. And that is a promise for each one of us who follows Jesus, that death no longer has victory over us. And we too, just as Jesus was, will be resurrected. Jesus' death and resurrection at the heart of our faith. Jesus is the Son of God. As he promised, he is alive and with his people. So today, Easter Sunday, we have every reason to celebrate with alleluias and praise, because Jesus is risen and he lives with his people by the power of his Holy Spirit. And there's more to come. What wonderful joy for each one of us when we go to meet him as the women did and see him face to face. Won't that be wonderful? It'd be the best Easter ever, because we will see him face to face and spend time with him in the new heaven and earth, which would be better than anything on your bucket list, because Jesus has promised that the best is yet to come. Amen.